Hello everyone, Anetineta here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Anetineta. Today, we're continuing with review number 5. Annette will be reading our prayer to us today.
Steady our feet, our Father. Let our doubts be quiet and our holy minds be still, and speak to us. We have no words to give to you. We would but listen to your word and make it ours. Lead our practicing as does a father lead a little child along a way he does not understand. Yet does he follow, sure that he is safe because his father leads the way for him. So do we bring our practicing to you. And if we stumble, you will raise us up. If we forget the way, we count upon your sure remembering. We wander off, but you will not forget to call us back. Quicken our footsteps now, that we may walk more certainly and quickly unto you. And we accept the word you offer us to unify our practicing as we review the thoughts that you have given us.
Lesson 175. God is but love, and therefore so am I. Reviewing Lesson 159. I give the miracles I have received. God is but love, and therefore so am I. Reviewing Lesson 160. I am at home. Fear is the stranger here. God is but love, and therefore so am I. Lesson 175. I wanted to not like continue, but play off of what we were talking about yesterday.
Which was, would you refresh my memory?
Well, I'm going to put it this way because this is what I want to talk about today.
Okay.
Putting our learning into action. Making our learning a doing. Because we can learn, like we can read any spiritual book. But until it's a doing, it does not matter. And so when we're looking at all of these different lessons, this is why I love my reviews so much. Because like sometimes I read the course and it's like, I get up and it's like, oh, now it's time for my practice. And it's like, what lesson am I on again? I was like, I just get off and running. And it's like, I love these lessons to bring me back. Like then I'm back to the lesson during the practice periods. But then over time, it's like, gosh, this was 157. This was like 20 days ago. I'm not going to really recall that as quickly, you know, as maybe one this morning, but even the one this morning I have trouble with. So that's why I love the reviews because it like reminds me, oh yeah, that's the lesson. Oh yeah, I remember that. And allows me to then get back into the lessons even deeper. But I can't just say, you know, when I think about a lesson, like, what is a lesson? Like, if I'm practicing the piano or something like that, like, I have a piano lesson. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? I have to put into action. I just can't read a book. I just can't look at some notes. I can't watch a video about it. I have to put it into action. That's the only way it actually becomes a lesson. If I'm not putting it into action, it's not a lesson. I'm just reading something.
It's just an insight, like we've often talked
about. It's just an insight. And so making all of this a doing. So if God is but love, therefore so am I, what's the doing? We don't try to answer that from our egos. That's what we ask. We're asking for guidance here. We're being directed. Because what you were talking about yesterday was how in all of these different spiritual paths, their origins were this connection with God, with this love. But then we don't bring that love to the action level.
Well, and it seems like when you look back and do some spiritual studies, how the religions of the world today, and even other, you know, maybe they're not the big religions, but other spiritual thought systems, I guess we could call them. What I have learned is, and I'm not a scholar when it comes to this, but what I have noticed and learned is that really everything originated from this more being connected with our creator space, to be accepted for who we truly are, that we are connected or one, you know, with our creator. God is but love, and therefore so am I. If God is love, then so am I. That is pretty prevalent in all the spiritual systems that I have looked at and studied. Yeah.
And we've studied different ones.
And we have. But what seems to happen is no sooner does the kind of like the originator, so like as soon as who we call Buddha died, then now there's the different camps. There's, I think there's just like two major camps. And they both teach quote unquote Buddhism, but they teach it differently, right? And so just look at all the different denominations of Christianity. You know, like I grew up Lutheran, and Lutherans typically had trouble with Catholics. And Catholics, you know, if you're Catholic, you may have trouble, I don't know, because I'm not a Catholic, but some other, you know, Assembly of God. And so we have all these then different factions, and then that's all like we're just scurrying like ants. We're not coming together and just saying, you know, this is the way that love finds me. And then someone else says, and this is the way love finds me. We have to make someone right and someone wrong.
I think that's the key. We have this, what creates so many problems is this desire for rightness. Am I doing it right, or who's right, who's wrong? I have the right path, you have the wrong path. This desire for rightness rather than making rightness, does this teach you love? You know, that's all that matters. That's what matters. And when we live in this world, and to me, this is what the ego thought system is all about, is rightness. Is, am I right? And there is even a line in the Course, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Now that has been taken, and this is maybe a little tangent of that, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy, has been taken in this direction where if you are in a disagreement with someone, you're just supposed to roll over and just let them do whatever they want, because otherwise you're too focused on being right. And if you just were the doormat, then you'd be happy. It doesn't work like that.
And it doesn't mean that. When Jesus is talking about would you rather be right or happy, it does not mean that.
It doesn't. And I'll continue my tangent a little bit.
And let's say what it does mean.
Yeah, exactly. Because so there's this concept in the Course of outrageous requests. So that means, and that's factually found in the Bible, where like with someone ask you to walk with them a mile, go with them two. If someone wants your cloak, give them your tunic as well. It's like that kind of, that concept is found in A Course in Miracles. It's called outrageous requests. And so we take these outrageous requests where, and what that is where someone has an action, a behavior, or wants us to do something, you know, that's the request. And then we say, I don't want to do that. Like, I'll use an example between us.
Okay.
So when we're in our office and we're going to have a workshop or something, you know, if I set up the chairs, they're going to be the Ada style. And then there's the next style. And so the outrageous request would be where...
Annette would say, Ada, would you mind if I just rearrange things just a little bit? And you would say...
Sure.
Even though you're going, what?
I set them up great. Just perfect. And that becomes the outrageous request, because it'd be like, I set up the chairs fine. Why do you need to move the chairs? But it doesn't hurt. It's kind of like, okay, it doesn't need to happen, but it makes you feel better. Go for it. And so the reason, so within, do you want to be right, be happy? If I were to make that an argument, like that would really hurt the relationship. Because that's something that actually does not matter. However, the other side of the outrageous request is, if the request is not loving, it's not, if it's not kind, if it's hurtful or harms somebody, that is no longer an outrageous request. We don't just go along with it. We don't just say, yeah, sure, that's fine. Just like if this chair thing was really like, it was more than that. It was like, you can't set up the chairs. You don't know how. And it became like, we would have to have a different conversation.
Also, I've had to learn even myself using this example is, you know, what would love do in this moment?
Yeah.
Do those chairs really have to be different for me to be okay?
Yeah.
You know, like that's the check-in.
Yeah.
And sometimes the answer is, yeah, actually they do. Other times it's like, well, I'm just being really picky right now.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to do that.
And so that's where this question of rightness comes in is what we're trying to be quote unquote right about, do you want to be right or happy, really that important? If we look at the outcome, whichever way it goes, does it harm somebody? Does it hurt? Is it hurtful? If the answer is no, then this is where do you want to be right or do you want to be happy comes in. Because then we just say, whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. We just need to get the chairs out. That's what's actually most important here. Now, in the world, though, we think, and using the chairs as an example, I think it's a great example, because so many things are the equivalent of setting out the chairs for a workshop. You know, how something gets done at the office. You know, do the pencils need to go on one shelf, or the pens, do they need to go on another shelf? Is this where we keep the copier paper? Is this where we store the envelopes? You know, these are the arguments I've seen in my working life where that creates a lot of conflict.
Or families, like, how do we spend how do we spend holidays? Oh, well, you know, it's Father's Day. Do we spend it with this father, that father? Do we run ourselves ragged by seeing both fathers? I mean, all of those are, would you rather be right or happy? We have to actually really just say, you know,
what's the most important thing there? It's time to, you know, honor what your dad has done in your life. Mm-hmm. Honor the relationship. That's the most important thing. How that happens doesn't matter.
And what Jesus is really talking about in the would you rather be right or happy, would you rather be right about yourself?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. And so we have this whole thing with spiritual paths and everything in the world where if I have like the right path, if I do what is right, then I'm right.
Right.
As I'm like in alignment with God, kind of right. When really you're already in alignment with God, you're already love. You don't like, there's another lesson we'll get to, which is I need do nothing, which is you have to literally do nothing in order to be as God created you.
And so I want to bring this, would you rather be right than happy, to I am at home, fear is the stranger here.
Mm-hmm.
And how I want to do that is, so would you rather be right, meaning like think you have to be thin enough for God to love you, rich enough to God to love you, know enough for God to love you, and be spiritual enough for God to love you, those four possessions. Those are just some examples. Would you rather be right, or would you want to be happy and realize that you already are enough for God?
You're already at home.
You're already at home. And so when I am at home, fear is the stranger here. Fear can have us white knuckling it through life. Fear can have us make all of these arbitrary ideas about how I'm going to be okay for God to love me. You know, and you know, we meet folks all the time that, you know, like, well, when I get this certain position, then I'm going to be okay. Well, when I get married, then I'm going to be okay. Well, when I find out a way how to get out of this relationship, then I'm going to be okay. Well, if I would just lose 10 pounds, then I'll be okay. Well, you know, I really need to gain some weight in order for me to be okay. I mean, like the dualism there is just, okay, that's the stranger. That's the fear, right? And we want to make fear the stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of us just, I'm perfect, whole, and complete just the way I am.
And we coming from the ego aren't the ones that pick the right path.
And we can't, because it gets us into trouble. That's why we're also miserable.
And this is where going circling all the way back to this idea of rightness and action is if So there's two concepts in ACIM. We have listen, learn, and do. Then we have ready, willing, and able. Both of those have action at the end. You know, the do and then the able to do. Well, we need to open ourselves up to the better way, to another way, lose this concept of rightness, so then we can actually allow love to flow through us and then out in the world. And that becomes the doing. So as we're learning each of these lessons, I give the miracles I have received, which is, you know, another way you could put that is I give the love that I have received. I am at home in with love. Fear, separation is the stranger here. So we are here, the lessons we are here to learn are all about how we shift our perception from error to truth so then we could be and do and be in that presence of love here in the world, because that being that presence of love is then mirroring who we know we are.
And just before we go, you said something that I loved and I really appreciated, and I just wanted to call maybe a little more attention to it. In the review of lesson 159, I give the love I have received. How that speaks to me is when I am allowing myself to truly receive love from my creator, like divine love, as opposed from this ego thought system love. When I open myself up to receiving and allow it to soak in, I have found that I show up differently in all of my life.
Yep.
I'm learning to love myself, so therefore some behaviors I don't allow anymore. And that's not punitive, it's just that's not what love is. So I don't have an interest in that, right? I give the love that I have received. I want us to really focus in on is when we've received the love, and then we're learning to love ourselves more, we show up differently in our lives, and we give from a different place. We're not giving out of guilt. We're not giving out of obligation. We're not giving out of being manipulated. We're not giving out of it's socially acceptable. We're giving from the true space, and it feels different and it looks different. And I wanted to just remind us that our lives through the journey of A Course in Miracles will change and will show up differently. Our relationships might change. Some might fall away. Some may appear and we nurture those. We're not the author of that. Love is. And it's very important to just back to, I will step back and let him lead the way. Right? And into his presence I would enter now. And now here is like, I am at home. I'm at home in love. I don't have to come from this fear space anymore, which is such a relief. And to just kind of open our hearts up to A Course in Miracles comes, and it says that, you know, we're changing our perception from error and truth, so our life is going to look a little different. And that's okay.
It actually needs to be different.
It needs to be different, yeah. Yeah, because we have so much turmoil, and really that fear, obligation, guilt, manipulation, that's the stuff that has to fall away. And typically that's in our closest relationships. So our closest relationships might change. Some of them may fall away. Some of them will change and they'll just be better than they ever were, of course, because they're coming from a different space. So that's our lesson for today, lesson 175. Have a wonderful day, and we will see you tomorrow.
See you then.